What a wonderful blessing. Look in your Bible, please, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I'm going to read just one verse this morning, and I'm going to get you out early. Time's got away from us this morning, but I have a short message, amen. I've told you before that most of my sermons like baloney. You can cut them off anywhere you want to, and they'd still be good. But I don't know. I got thinking baloney's probably not a good way to explain, you know, illustrate a sermon, you know. But notice, if you will, please, I'll read one verse this morning. Greater giving is our emphasis this month. Last Sunday, if you remember, if you were here, I preached on the greatest example of giving in the Bible. And that is, of course, the Bible said God gave His only begotten Son. And then it says of our Lord that He gave Himself. And then it says also that He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also freely by Him give us all things? And so, thank the Lord, what a wonderful example of giving. And this morning, I'm going to continue on that thought. And if you were here on last Sunday evening, Wednesday night, rather, I talked about some errors of us giving ourselves. It says of the early apostles, they made this statement, they wanted to give themselves to prayer. And that's a greater giving of ourselves in prayer. And then it says of the Macedonians, Paul said that they gave themselves to the Lord. They were Christians already, but they gave themselves to the Lord. Romans chapter 12 said we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And the sacrifices are an ongoing thing. We could do that daily. Paul said, I die daily. Greater giving of ourselves to the Lord. And then he talked about, he said, till I come, give attention to reading. And that is to read the Word of God. And we give ourselves to reading the Word of God. Give ourselves more time to reading the Word of God. And then in serving the Lord, it talked about giving ourselves wholly to those things, completely to those things. Just one verse this morning. I have three little thoughts that I want to leave with you, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 9. I want to read verse number 15, one verse. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Father, I want to thank You and praise You, Lord Jesus, for loving us and dying for us and for giving Your only begotten Son that we might have everlasting life, that freely by Him we might have all things. Thank You that You said in the Word of God that You give unto us eternal life and we shall never perish. Thank You, Lord, for such a wonderful blessing. Lord, to know You in a real way, to know our sins are forgiven, to know that we are children of God. We understand, our Father, that in this life, Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men most miserable. Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. But our Father, we are thankful that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will have everlasting life. And there's coming a day there'll be no more cancer, there'll be no more disease or sickness or sorrow, there'll be no more broken homes or broken lives, no broken promises or broken promises, Lord, to us. But God, I'm thankful that there's coming a day that everything will be made right. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would breathe on me. Thank You for the wonderful singing of the congregation, for the faithfulness our Father, Ms. Brendan Cabot, to play, and Brother Brad to work with the music, and Lord, for the choir this morning. I know, Lord, that not only have they blessed us here at the church, but Lord, they've been traveling to nursing homes in the area through the Christmas season and singing and sharing the good news of the gospel and being a help and a blessing to those friends who are there. Thank You for their heart, for their love, for their dedication. Thank You, our Father, for my family. Thank You for every one of them. Thank You especially for Charles and his family this morning. And God, for the men who sang, Lord, I love them and thank You for their lives, for their families. And God, what a joy it is. God, we wouldn't have any of these things if You'd not come to Calvary. If You'd not given us everlasting life. Many of us in here today would already be in hell if it hadn't been for grace and You saving us. We never would have had a home. We never could have kept our family together had it not been for the grace of God. We couldn't, our Father, go to the graveside with many loved ones, children and adults. We'd live forever in a brokenhearted state had it not been for the blessed hope that Jesus is coming again and the dead in Christ will rise with Him. Thank You, Lord, for those promises that You gave us. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would breathe through me. God, purge my mind and heart. And God, I pray that You do what only You could do. And I'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. I read this passage of Scripture on Friday night. We went with Brother Barry and his Sunday school class to a class party at Grandson's. And it was just a good time of fellowship. Brother Barry read the Christmas story. And we never get tired, just like the group sang a while ago. That's still the greatest story ever told, isn't it? And around Christmas time, preachers and all of us, we want to try to come up with some new way of presenting the same truth. And as I thought about it through the week and prayed, there's no way to change it. You can't make it any better, praise God. I mean, you can't improve on it. It's wonderful. And this wonderful statement here is such a verse, as the old-time Puritans say, it's pregnant with truth. I mean, there's so many wonderful things in this one statement. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Two or three things just quickly. I want you to notice what it means about the unspeakable gift. This particular Greek word is used only once in the Bible. Now, in the book of 1 Peter, he talks about our unspeakable joy. And that means unexpressible. We can't express our joy. Only when we get to heaven, we got a brand new body. I can rejoice. And Brad, he's wonderful to get us to remind us of what God's done for us and try to get you praising God and rejoicing in the Lord. And we are a body of flesh. You get weary. And most of you are praying that you can get your Christmas decorated and purchases done by Easter. I know how that goes. But, but one of these days, He's saved us and give us everlasting life. But we can't express that joy. It's unspeakable and not expressible. And then there's another passage of Scripture in the Bible that's translated that word. But the Greek words are a little different than they are in this I just read to you in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Unspeakable joy means you can't express it. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it talks about unspeakable words. That Paul talks about the one caught up into the third heaven. Heaven, and there were things that he was not allowed to say, But only this verse has a Greek word that means this. It means that which cannot be fully declared. His gift is one that cannot be fully declared. In other words, I was trying to think how to illustrate it to us where I'd understand it. You remember the story of King Solomon? God said, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom. He said, you've chosen me to lead this great nation, and I got to have wisdom. And the Lord said, because you've asked of wisdom that you might lead this people, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but I'll give you riches beyond your wildest imagination. And King Solomon became the richest man in all the whole world. And God blessed him so. And read the Bible about all of his stables and all of his horses and all the great treasures and all the things that he had. He became not only the wisest man in the world, but the richest man in all the whole world. And his fame was across the world at that time. And the Queen of Sheba came. And she came to see the riches of Solomon. And he gave her the grand tour, showed her all of the lush gardens. And, when I was preaching through the book of the Song of Solomon, I studied about the gardens of Solomon. Man, listen, I love flowers. I love to go to a beautiful, some of these old colonial homes where they've got landscape yards. And in Germany, they have beautiful garden. But we've never, ever in our lifetime, and the Biltmore House, and we've never seen anything compared to the gardens of Solomon. Solomon had gardens that bloomed year-round. He had in his gardens flowers that would only bloom in winter. He had in his garden those flowers that would only open their petals at night. He had in his garden flowers that only were brilliant color and fragrant aroma in the drought at times. And then there were some who flourished in the rainy season when it was so much rain that nothing else hardly was able to sustain. He had it to where day or night, 24/7, every day of the year, something was blooming, something was fragrant in his gardens. We never seen anything like it. And she saw all of that. And then all of the gold and all of the silver and all of his palaces and all of his mansions and all of the kingdom. And you know what she said? She said, I've heard about it and heard about it. She said, but the half has not yet been told. And can I tell you, for 50 years now, I've been trying to tell people what this great gift's all about, and I just can't declare it. I can't tell it. I don't care if I preach from now to Jesus come. There's no way, inexpressible, I'm not able to declare all the truth of this great gift. It's inexhaustible. It is His great gift. I noticed this about it, three things quickly. Number one, the provider of this great gift. He said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Remember this. Now, God gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says that before there was ever a world, He said that Jesus was His daily delight. Always, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There were no inadequacies. They had everything you could ever imagine. God in three persons, perfect harmony, perfect unity, and just wonderful time, daily delight and rejoicing. My dear friend, He fashioned man, made man. And God created everything and gave it to man to enjoy. And man sinned and fell. Because of that, a curse came on all the whole earth. And all of nature was cursed because of it. And man was cursed because of it. And every person ever born is born into Adam's race. All of these little babies that are born, they're beautiful. And I love them to death, and they're sweet. All of ours are, and all of yours are. All these babies and grandbabies. But they're all born with an Adamic nature. They're all born into Adam's race. And they're born into sin, David said. They're born into sin. You will not have to teach them to lie. They'll lie automatically. You'll have to teach them to do right. You have to teach them to do good. They have to be born again in order to go to heaven as they begin to grow. But my dear friend, listen, in all of those great things that he did, he looked and man sinned. He created the stars, endless expanse of space. And yet there was only one person in all of the world that could meet the need of fallen man, and it was His Son. He was willing to fashion Adam out of the dust of the earth, breathe in his nostrils breath of life. He created a perfect environment for him, created a world for him, created the sun, the moon, water, everything. Everything that was created, He fashioned to sustain man. But there was only one thing He could do that save us from our sin. That was to give His own Son. Now, that came real to me. Charles stood up here and sang a while ago with his family. And when Charles was born, we were pastoring over in Micro. And I remember we were playing basketball on the night that Charles was born with some friends from the church. We were over at their house, Linwood Price. If Hilton's gay here, they would remember them. And we were over there playing basketball. And I was a lot younger. I can still just jump just as high as I used to. I don't stay up as long, though, now as I used to. But we was playing basketball. And my wife came to the door, and she said, we need to go. And I said, okay, we'll finish this game. She said, I need to go. And so we kept on playing, and she came back again, and she said, I need to go. We need to go now. And I said, I'll be right there. And she gave me that look. How many of you know the look? I said, y'all take the ball. I'm going to the house. And we went to the house, and when we got there, and we laid in the bed, I mean, just a few minutes, she reached over and grabbed my hand, and boy, she just crushed it. And she said, I'm having a contraction. I said, I'm feeling your pain. I'm feeling your pain. And sure enough, we went to the hospital over here in Smithfield, and Charles was born. And in those days, they wouldn't let you go in back they do now. You know, when you go back into the birthing center and all that, husband had to wait out in the waiting rooms. And we had two children. Our oldest daughter was named Christy, and she had died just before she was 3 years old, leukemia. And then Melissa came along, and then they had told us we have what's called the Rh factor, plus negative. And I can't remember which one of them was negative, but at any rate, back in those days, it was a little different than it is now. And they said, Dad, there will be a problem unless you have daughters. If you have a son, it might be some problem, whatever. But at any rate, I just in my mind, I didn't think we'd ever have a boy. And so, but when the nurse came down the hall, she had a little bundle, and she called me out of the waiting room and pulled the blanket back. She said, Mr. Castle, would a little boy be all right? And boy, I tell you, I had a fit. I jumped up and down, ran up and down the hall, everything. I got a son. And they wouldn't even let me stay in with Regina that night. And so it was up 5 o'clock in the morning or so anyway, and I went on to the house. I laid down. I couldn't sleep. And I was laying there, and I was thinking, oh, God, thank you. You gave me a son. Thank God for my son, and I thank you for the son. And just in that quiet time over there in Micro, in the house we were living in, the Holy Ghost, God said to me, that's not the first son I ever gave you. I gave you my son to die for you. I got out of my bed and got on my knees, and I said, Lord, thank you. I never knew what it would have been like. I said, I can't imagine somebody come up to me and say, for all the sinners in the world, we want to kill your son. I said, no way. No way I wouldn't do that. No way I'd let you hurt one of my children. Wouldn't let you hurt my... I want to help people. Be able to, if you want to kill me, that's all right. But you're not going to touch my children, you know. Don't mess with my children. But God gave his son, his only son, to die for us. That word, look at it in your Bible, verse 15. It's a capital T. Thanks. That just seems such a small word, doesn't it? I mean, for what he did, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the provider of the gift. Notice, if you will, not only that, I want you to note the perfection of that gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave his son, the perfect son. He was perfect. The virgin birth is absolutely necessary. People say, well, if virgin birth is just a minor issue, we agree on everything but virgin birth. No, if you don't believe Jesus was born of a virgin, you don't believe in the Jesus of this Bible. Amen. He was born of a virgin. Some people say, well, it says she was a young woman. Sure, she was a young woman, but she was a virgin. There's a lot of difference between being a young woman and being a virgin. She was a virgin. She said, I have never known a man. I mean, she never had a sexual relationship with a man. She's a virgin. And miraculous birth. He's perfect. Most of you understand that in the physical realm, that it's the daddy that determines the blood type of the child. And the Bible talks us all being born into Adam's race. Jesus Christ took on him a body of flesh. God fashioned him a body. But he was not of the Adamic nature. He didn't have the nature of Adam. He was born of God. The Holy Ghost of God determined his blood type. Did you know you may be A negative, B negative, whatever, O, all those things. But Jesus' blood type was one that's never existed before, never exists again. He was absolutely perfect. His Father determined his blood type, and he was perfect. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He never sinned in action or thought in any way. He was absolutely sinless. Even his enemy declared at his death, he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Or the is a perfect, that only blood, the perfect blood, the only one like it. That article means it's the only one of that kind. I have sinned against innocent blood. I have betrayed the innocent blood. He was perfect, sinless. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. You know why people die? Sin. And he had no sin, and yet he died. Now, what's that mean? It means this. The Bible said scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He had no sin. He died our death. He paid for our sin debt. He gave his life a ransom that we might be saved. It's a perfect gift. It's a one size fits all. Anybody, I don't care who you are, what nationality, what race, what color, what language, no matter where you are in the world, Jesus Christ is the perfect gift. He's able to save to the uttermost all, A-L-L, all that call upon him. Whosoever will may come. He can save anybody and everybody. He's a perfect Christmas gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. He was perfect God, and he was a perfect man. He was a man so he could die, but he was God so his death would be sinless and perfect. And he paid our sin debt, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Then I want you to notice the purpose of that gift. I've already alluded to that. But in the same place you've got your Bible open, you should be close enough to look at it. Look back in chapter number 8 and look at there at verse number 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. The purpose of this gift, the Bible said, though he were rich. Oh, listen, there's a song that says, my father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Oh, yeah, he's rich. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and fullness thereof. Everything in this world, everything in this universe belongs to him. But he's rich not only in material things, but he was rich in mercy, rich in grace, and rich in love. Rich. But the Bible said, for our sakes, he became poor. You know that Jesus Christ never owned a piece of property in his life. He created the world and didn't own a square inch of it when he came to live in a human body. Had nowhere to lay his head, never owned a home, never had a house. I don't have any account in the Bible where he ever even had a donkey or a camel. None. The only time he rode on a donkey, he had to borrow it from somebody, and he rode it into Jerusalem, and they said, Hosanna to the King. When he died, he had no grave. He didn't have grave prepared. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. He made every mineral, every core of iron, every bit of gold, every silver, and every hill, all of this world. He owns every bit of it. And yet he didn't even own a grave plot. He's put in a barred tomb. Oh, he became poor for us. He became laid aside his glory that he might suffer death for us. Oh, my dear friend, listen, that we might become rich. Thank God he made us rich. When we trusted Jesus Christ, we became heirs, co-heirs with Christ. Everything he owns, we own. But oh, we have experienced his rich grace. Oh, we know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said. Thank God for grace, wonderful grace. When it comes down to it, my dear friend, there's nothing to take the place of peace. If you come down to die, I don't care how much money you got, how much land you own, how many worldly possessions you have, the one thing that you want to have is peace. You want to be able to say like David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He made us rich in grace. He made us rich in mercy. He forgave all of our sin. And beyond that, he gave us everlasting life. The Bible said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things God prepared for them. Now, the Bible does say this, but the Holy Spirit of God has showed us some of those things. But my dear friend, when you think about Christ and his grace and what he did for us, it is unspeakable. There's no ability, no tongue, no mind that can fully declare what this gift's all about. All we can do is just tell you a little part of it. But the part that counts is really important, and that is whosoever will may come. You see, the provision of that gift was made, but there has to be an acceptance of that gift to be enjoyed, the possession of that gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Only those who experience that gift can rightfully thank him for doing it. You have to have that gift. You have to receive that gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a possession. Now, I've got some things at home that I would sell. I remember Mr. Shelton Benson, Mr. Sherbert, rather, when he was living. I went by one time, and if you know right up the road here, he always had a lot of different things setting out in his field. And I was visiting with him one day, and he's telling me, said somebody pulled up in his yard and wanted to buy something, and that line of stuff sitting down through there. And he said, you don't see a sale sign on it nowhere, do you? Not for sale. It might not be any good to nobody else, but it's not for sale. And can I tell you, my dear friend, there's some things at my home that I wouldn't sell. Oh, how much are they worth? I don't know, maybe a dollar or two, maybe, you know, whatever. But it's not what they are so much as who gave them to me. I've got things that people have given me over the years. I've got things in my office over there. If you go in, you'll see little things sitting all on. I've got Joan, Sister Joan, used to buy me stuff. I'd sit up there. Joel and Shelby give me all kind of little antique stuff. And I wouldn't sell in that. Why? How much is it worth? I don't know how much it's worth. But it doesn't matter what it's worth. It's who gave it to me. And I'm going to tell you what makes this gift valuable is the fact, thanks be unto God, amen, that He gave us His only begotten Son. Oh, listen, there's some things that money can't buy, but He gave it to you in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question is this, have you ever accepted Christ? Oh, I love this church. I think it's a great church. You just ought to be a member of this church and just be a part of this church. Just come and worship with us. You'll find people here to love you and care for you and all that. Well, I love the church. Love it. Love it. But the thing is this, you can come and attend this church and hang around this church, hang around these people. But if you don't have the gift, if you've never accepted the gift, there has to be a time in your life when you knew you were lost and knew you need to be saved and you accepted that gift. Do you have it today? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Do you have him? Have you experienced, do you possess that gift? Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed? It's a simple question. It's a wonderful truth. It's not capable of being declared. Now, you can't ever exhaust it. You can't ever really fully tell what He's done for us at Calvary. I know enough to know it's more than I can shout about till now till Jesus comes. It's more than I can ever thank Him for. But it's undeclarable. You can't express it. It's inexhaustible, the truth of Calvary. And that's great gear. How many of you would say, Brother Billy, I do have great treasures at home. I've got something maybe my grandmother gave me, my granddaddy, my mom, my dad. I got something some of the children or grandchildren gave me. And to me, they're great treasure. But Brother Billy, the greatest treasure I have, the greatest gift I've ever accepted and received was the day I accepted the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand high? And also as you do that, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Just thank Him a few minutes for giving you that gift. You didn't have to pay for it. He loved you. Maybe we hadn't always expressed our gratitude to Him. We hadn't certainly always lived in appreciation of it. But I am so thankful for it. Thank you, and you put your hands down. I wonder if there's a man or woman, a girl in the building this morning. Say, Brother Billy, I've never been saved. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. But at Christmas, at this time of the year, I want to receive that gift. I want to know I'm going to heaven before it's too late. And while no one's looking, here in the building, maybe in the media audits, if you've never accepted the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, but you'd like for me to pray for you, will you raise your hand here in the building? Boys, girls, men and women, anybody in the building, and say, preacher, pray for me. God bless you, my friend. Somebody else? Somebody else. The great gift of His dear Son. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, would do what I can't do. Please convict them. Oh, God, I wish I could be saved for every person in this building for 5 minutes. I wish I could be saved for every person in the media audience for 5 minutes. Let them know what it was to have their sins forgiven, to experience the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And what Peter said, the joy unspeakable, inexpressible, no way to express it. And our Father, I pray, God, Lord, that You'd, Lord, save this morning. I pray they'd understand that a gift has to be received. You came into His own, Your own, and Your own received You not. But to as many as received You, to them gave You power. Help them to receive Christ this morning. And God, for those of us who are saved, help us to be thankful. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Would you please stand with your heads bowed? Brother Brad's going to sing a verse or two of a song. I want to give you a few minutes this morning. If you want to just do what Paul said, it just seems as Paul's going through and he's talking about giving to the church at Corinth. He gets down to that verse 15, he just explodes. And the thing about giving, giving cheerfully. God gave his son cheerfully. God didn't give his son reluctantly to us. He was willing to give him, and he gave him joyfully. The Lord Jesus Christ came and died, and though he had great sorrow as he approached the cross, and though he sweat great sweat drops his blood, he said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, joyfully, knowing joy was coming in the morning. Maybe you want to just take a few minutes again this morning, thank him right where you are. Maybe you want to just come get around the altar this morning. Christians will always lead the way. I invite you to come this morning. If you're not saved, come trust Christ. If you have a need or burden in your heart, you come lay it at this old altar. Let the Lord take care of it. Heavenly Father, again, bless now. Help men and women, boys and girls, Lord, to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity that they've done. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name.